Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and today I've got a very exciting guest, Mr. Richard Libby. With more than 30 years' experience working at consumer-based companies in an entrepreneurial role, Rick Libby oversees the day-to-day operations of Traveling Vineyard, which is a home-based direct-selling wine tasting company. Although he is the CEO, his business card reads, he is the chief grape stomper and head cheerleader. It is my pleasure today to welcome to our show, Rick Libby.
And my pleasure to be on your show, Belinda Ellsworth.
Oh, thanks so much. Well, Rick, why don't you just take a few minutes? I know you've got such an interesting story. So why don't you take a few minutes and kind of fill in the gaps of that bio and tell us a little bit more about your journey?
Thanks, Belinda. I've always said that my journey has been kind of interesting. I got out of college and immediately went to work for Marriott Hotels. So I would have to say that my background and training was really steeped in the hospitality industry with Marriott, which is a great company to have under your belt and work for in my developmental years. And then after that, I proceeded to, go down a number of different paths with consumer-facing companies, including a central reservation system for condominium reservations, which I did as an entrepreneur. I worked for a major direct marketing company in Connecticut that specialized in significant direct marketing programs. And then that led me to a wine mail order catalog company called Geerlings & Wade, where I was hired as the chief marketing officer to essentially help turn around the company. That was really kind of where I was at in those days, in my mid-40s. And, it was interesting. Geerlings & Wade had been a predominant force in the wine catalog business and had actually gone public and had achieved a really significant sales level, well over $100 million. And then as the competitive landscape changed, the business started to suffer and went backwards. And that's when they brought me in. And when I got in there, this was in early 2001, we came up with this concept of imagine if you could do a Tupperware style party with wine. And we looked at other direct selling businesses like Tupperware and Pampered Chef and Cincy, of course, and Party Light was big then. And we ran a couple of test parties and things went really well and we thought we were onto something. So, core to my personality is to be an entrepreneur. So within the organization, we created this new business called Traveling Vineyard in 2001. It took off and things went really well. With the business growing over the next 3 to 4 years. Unfortunately, the catalog company was kind of hemorrhaging money. And at the time, they decided to bring in, the board of directors decided to bring in a new CEO, and I had a new boss all of a sudden. And I was in love with this business that we'd created, Traveling Vineyard, just because I got to see how it impacted people and made their life better, more fun, more fulfilling. The friendships that were made, there were all these really interesting, psychic benefits that I got to be a participant in with the people. And I really, it was kind of the first time I've ever really fallen in love with a business, rather than have it just be a place to come to work. So I got a new boss. And contrary to what you need to do in the direct selling business as a CEO, you need to inspire people and propel them up and encourage them and recognize them and make them feel good about what they do and give them all the tools. My new boss had a different approach. He viewed everybody as kind of an employee that should have an agreement and took away kind of the fun of it. And I kind of got into these daily arguments with him about treating people inspirationally instead of with the stick, if you will.
Right.
And as you can imagine, when you argue with your boss, things don't typically work out the way that you want them to. And I ended up getting fired, but it's okay actually, because I morally, I felt like I got fired for all the right reasons. I was trying to do right by the business and take good care of the people. So long story short, 4 years later, the business went into Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and I was working at another company at a job that I was doing okay at. And when I heard about the bankruptcy, I was like, oh my goodness, I can get my baby back. And I put together a group of investors. I emptied out my entire savings accounts. I was 55 years old. I went all in, bought the company back, and that was in late 2010, early 2011. And that was the beginning of a new chapter in Traveling Vineyard. And today we have about over 5,000 wine guides in 40 states. And we're, just doing terrific, because we focus on our wine guides and give them all the tools that they need to do a great job. And support them and inspire them and make them feel fulfilled. And if you have those things going for you, typically you do really well in this business. So that's kind of I gave you the medium story, and I meant to give you the short story, but I wanted to tell you about that anyway.
Oh, I'm glad you did. And so there's a couple of things in there. One, this direct selling model, it's very interesting, because you kind of have micro entrepreneurs, if you will, so that they're able to have their own business without having to do all of the work and inventory, finding the right wines and doing all of that. You handle all of that as a corporate piece.
Yes.
And then they are just, your sales reps that basically are able to do the fun part of the business. So it's a very interesting model.
Really interesting model. It's actually a fascinating model. I fell in love with it in 01, and I'm still in love with it today, just because of the way it helps people have a fun, flexible side hustle, or even turn it into a full-time career.
Absolutely. And I know that you've carried forward, just knowing you as I do, that motto of what really kind of drove you crazy about the first boss that you had, that you really stuck to the principle of, it has to be good for the company and it has to be good for your sales representatives or your consultants. And
that's right.
You've really stuck by that.
Yeah, we, I think it's permeated in we call it lovingly World Headquarters. We have 18 people here. When it gets over 100, I'll call it the office, by the way. But we have this a very simple formula that is permeated throughout the organization, and that we have two check boxes. One is good for our wine guides, which are our consultants, and the other one is good for the company. And the rule that we have is that we can always check the box good for the wine guides, and if we can check the box good for the company to go along with that, then that's a great thing. But on my watch, I've made kind of a vow, going back to the old story that I told you about, is that we'll never check the box good for the company without making and not good for the wine guide. And I think that's kept us true as far as our responsibility and willingness to make sure that we keep our entrepreneurial wine guides successful.
Great. And the other thing that I wanted to bring out of that story, which I think is what so many entrepreneurs struggle with, because I interview them every single week, and that is the all going all in. It's that risk factor. It's like,
yeah,
it just how that had to be sort of a hard decision. And at the same time, you just knew it. So can you shed any light on that? Maybe some of those feelings that you were having, or the passion that you had for it, or what helped you get through that risk factor? Because that is what holds back, I would say, 80% of people who really want their life to look a little bit different.
Of course. Yeah. And, I had I sit here and I brag about the fact that I went all in at 55, and the story could have been written two ways, right? One is like, what a stupid decision that was, and the thing kind of could, crash and burn. Or the other way is that, boy, what a gutsy, risky maneuver, and it turns out great. And fortunately, that's the way the story's turned out. But having said that, I had an advantage that maybe other entrepreneurs didn't have. I got to start at once, and I got to ramp it up, and I got to be able to see the good, the bad, and the ugly during that first time. The second time, it was easy for me to go all in at 55 years old because I knew that if you kept these principles, good for the wine guide, good for the company, and those two things together, and really treated people the right way, that it was easy to go all in because I knew that we could build it again. And listen, at the end of the day, a product with wine, I mean, it doesn't get much more fun than that, right?
Right.
I mean, it's romantic. People have memories with wine. The locations where the vineyards are like these idyllic tourist destinations. So, you know, I mean, if you talk about kind of putting together the perfect set, if you will, of product and passion, this one kind of checks off all the boxes. So that made it easier. Now, when I went home at 55 years old and told my wife that I was going to put everything at risk, that was where the rubber kind of met the road, right? Because it's
right.
Like, well, wait a minute here. I know you did it, and I know you were successful once with it, and you left in other than perfect conditions. But she ended up kind of feeling the same way after we talked about it for a couple of days, that, you know, we'd done it before. She loved it as much as I did, and she's been an important part of the culture, you know, my wife Cheryl. So it really worked out well. I'm very grateful. I'm very lucky. I'm very fortunate to have had things go the right way. That's not to say it's been easy, because I think being an entrepreneur is maybe one of the most difficult things you can do. But having said that, it's been a wonderful journey, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
That's great. You know, one of the things I always give people advice, and it's funny because they sometimes go, oh, no, like, or I don't have time for that. But when people are saying, oh, I really think I'd be good at this, I'm like, well, why don't you go work there? Why don't you go get a job, even if it's a part-time job, and see what is the backside of that business? And is it something you'd really want to put all in? And so
right.
I still believe that's the best advice. If you want to open a florist, then my goodness, go work at a florist.
Go work at a flower shop, right?
Exactly. Yep. And exactly right. And I think that helped you in making that decision because you had that experience and you saw, I do know what this model looks like. I have worked in the inner workings of this. I know I can make this work. And so that's advice I give to a lot of people. And I'll tell you, a lot of them just go, oh, no, that wouldn't be possible because, and I just think you've just limited everything, your belief system, your
right.
educational background to gain the knowledge you need to make a decision. I don't know. Anyway, it's just interesting to me.
I think you should stick to that advice because I think that's really valuable. And I think people should take you up on that. You know, if you have this great idea to, you know, create a clothing line, then you should go work at a clothing store. I think you are spot on with that because you got to learn the good, the bad, and the ugly with every business, and they have all three of those traits.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So tell us how the business then has shaped your lifestyle today.
Well, how is it? You know, I think I already kind of indicated a little bit that, you know, wine is not only a fun thing, but the places that it's grown and that it's processed and manufactured. We have two winemaking facilities, by the way. One is in Santa Ynez Valley in Buellton, which is near Santa Barbara. So, you know, it doesn't get much nicer than that part of the world. And the other one is in New York in the Finger Lakes region in Hammondsport, which is another just idyllic, beautiful place. Our central warehouse is in Ohio. Our world headquarters, as we affectionately call it, is in Ipswich, Massachusetts, where I was kind of born and raised. So I really think like I have the best of all worlds. And probably the best part is I don't have a boss.
Right on.
Great. And I don't have to commute. I used to commute into Boston for a number of years, or as I lived around different parts of the country, I commuted. And, you know, to have not have a boss, to be doing well, to have places that you get to go on, you know, for your business, including the incredible incentive trips that we take our wine guides on every year. And selfishly, since I'm paying for it, I always choose a beautiful beach location at a great resort. So we've been to Costa Rica and Hawaii and Aruba. And this year we're going to the Dominican Republic, to Casa de Campo, which will be really nice. Next year to Costa Rica again. And then we take our elite leadership team. You know, we have a responsibility to do professional development for our top leaders. So every year we take them off site. And we've worked with people like John Maxwell and Franklin Covey and, you know, some really leading professional development companies to help give them the tools to be effective leaders of really substantial teams. And we've been to Santiago, Chile. We've been to Lisbon, Portugal. We're going to go to Napa, California this coming May. So how has it shaped my lifestyle? Well, I have something to look forward to almost every month. Of a cool place to go, a fun place to go, and then I get to come in and you know, work my passion every day. And, you know, I've thought often about this. You know, if you're going into work to a job versus coming into work on your mission, what a huge difference that makes in your mindset. You know, to work on a mission is very, very different than coming into your job. And I consider this my mission to, you know, I'm personally gratified by the ability for the company to help people have a lifestyle that they can create and control and be entrepreneurs, because we all share that, right? We want the freedom and flexibility just like you do as an entrepreneur. And so that's a mission, to be able to come in. And part of what I do is I help coach people, and I enjoy that mission. So that it's really had a huge impact on my life, and I'm a very lucky guy.
That's great. Yeah. So what do you think, or have you identified as two of your greatest skill sets that have really helped contribute to your overall success?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that we have always done here at Traveling Vineyard is we have always been innovators. And I think back, you know, we're going into our eighth year right now. And I think back, and every single year we have innovated a new product, a new way to make life easier for our wine guides, from an app that we call Awesome to a food and wine pairing presentation that absolutely wows our guests at the events called Somology. By the way, we survey all of our hosts and guests and collect the data, and we don't edit them, and we have a 98% satisfaction rating, which is just phenomenal to me, Belinda, for 5,000 people who are not wine experts to be able to pull off a 98% satisfaction rating across the board with hosts and guests is really phenomenal. I mean, the leading brands of the world, like Ritz-Carlton, would love to have something like that, or, you know, other big hotel brands, just to use that as an example. And it speaks to the passion that the wine guides have as entrepreneurs for their business. They really care. And so I think that, you know, from a skill set perspective, I think we've instilled that here, and we've instilled it in the field to the best of our ability. And I think it's part innovation, part passion, part caring. And I think that, you know, it's been really interesting. And the other skill set that I'm working on developing is, you know, we had a coaching organization come in to our elite leader group this past March and teach us. It was a 2-day session on how to be an effective coach. And I listened to the 2-day session and I went, oh my goodness. I mean, this is really a phenomenal skill to have. And I came back and I identified some coaching schools out there where you can actually get to become an accredited coach. Now, I'm not looking to start myself in a new business, but what I am looking to do is to refine the coaching skills to be able to help the leaders in our company become better leaders. And so I enrolled in coaching school, and I hope to become certified in early next year after going through the curriculum and all the training. So how's that for a quick rundown of skill sets?
Well, that's great. And so it's one that many, many of our entrepreneurs share, and that is always, and it's been my motto forever, and that is always remain a student. You know, you always want to continue to learn, because when you're continuing to learn, you continue to grow. And people that feel like they have nothing else to learn really just on that slippery slope backwards. So
yes,
I'm a huge advocate of that for sure.
Indeed.
So what is one of your most outstanding accomplishments that is super meaningful for you?
Well, I think starting the company twice is pretty significant. Not many people have an opportunity to do that, right?
Right.
And to be able to be the employee entrepreneur in an organization, to kind of lose my grip on that for the right reasons, to come back and be able to buy it and to restart it and to every year we look at the Inc. 5000 list, essentially, and although we don't submit the numbers, we do our own internal calculation because we know what the formula is. And for the past, 4 years, we would have been like number 1300 on the Inc. 5000 list.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm super proud of those accomplishments. And to be able to have something that's mission focused instead of just work focused that I get to be a part of every day, I consider that a big accomplishment. So I think it's all surrounds Traveling Vineyard.
Great. So on the opposite of that, we always like to do these great opposites here. What's one of your greatest challenges that you faced in the business, and then how did you overcome it?
Oh, boy. Well, as an entrepreneur, there are challenges every day. At first I was like, the world, when you're an entrepreneur and stuff doesn't go the right way, you feel like the world's picking on you a little bit. But when you talk to other entrepreneurs, they tell you that I'm not alone. And that makes me feel better. And then my brother-in-law told me one day, which is just great advice. He said, diamonds are made from pressure.
Right.
I thought that was great. So anyway, to tell you a quick story, listen, when we restarted the company, one of the challenges you have is finding a merchant account, right? Which is, These are these processing companies that process your credit cards and they evaluate your risk. And we were having a devilish time finding a credit card processor. And ultimately, I reached out to a friend of mine who introduced me to a processor in New York. They took us on. And they had this this thing called a reserve. So in order to protect themselves from chargebacks, what they do is they kept a certain percentage of the funds that would come in for a period of time. Well, as it turned out, the reserve that they were keeping was equal to about 50% of our needed working capital.
Oh, my goodness.
So we can get past that, right? We just had to scrimp and save, but the reserve was really kind of building up because we came out with a bang and it was good. The reserve was a little unexpected on our part, and maybe we're kind of half guilty of not reading the contract carefully enough. I think we were so eager just to get a merchant account established that, you kind of the details get obscured a little bit. So in any event, this merchant got spooked because of the amount of transactions that were coming in and decided to cut us off.
Oh my gosh.
And I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it. Here's a successful company coming out of the gate. He saw so many transactions, he thought that the reserve wasn't big enough in case we had chargebacks, because they read all these horror stories about multi-level marketing companies going out of business, and we're not really a multi-level marketing company. I mean, we have some characteristics. You can explain to your audience the difference between the two. But so this guy got spooked, and all of a sudden he shut us off, but he kept the reserve. And he said he was going to keep it for up to 6 months to ensure that there weren't going to be chargebacks, but we needed the money to operate. So anyway, long story short, it was a horrific number of sleepless nights. really concerned. We had to go out and borrow more money because I went all in, as you know. I didn't have additional funds at the time to create more working capital, so we had to borrow from friends and family. It was incredibly successful. Fortunately, we worked our way through it. There weren't any chargebacks, and so he agreed to release the funds a little bit earlier. But thank God friends and family came to the rescue, and I think I might have threatened him on the phone. I got so upset.
But oh, I bet.
I was just livid. I was absolutely livid. So anyway, I hope that helps the other entrepreneurs hear the story of, a small but really, threatening challenge that could have put us out of business.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Yep. So what advice then would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Well, I think the only advice that I would feel comfortable giving to anyone that's thinking about becoming an entrepreneur is that if you do not have 100% belief, I know this is overused cliche, 110% belief, passion, and commitment to the concept or the idea, and you're willing to give it your all, then just stay working.
Yeah.
You got to be all in on this thing. And if you're not all in and failure isn't an option, then you really shouldn't do it. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I think what's the statistic? I think it's 90% of small businesses fail in the first couple of years, right?
Yep. That is a statistic. Yes.
Not a very encouraging statistic, but I will tell you this, the people that I see who are really have thought it out, have really committed to it, are really passionate, and have a great idea that you feel that resonates well with people. I always knew, when I sat on an airplane and people would say, as an example, what do you do for work? And I go, oh, we'll get this great company. We bring 5 bottles of free wine to your home and take you through a nice hour and a half, fun, educational, informative food and wine tasting event for free. Without exception, everybody would look and go, what a great idea. And so that gives you a lot of confidence that what you're about to embark on is going to work, right? When it resonates with people. So I think you got to make sure that it resonates with people too before you go all in.
Yep, for sure. I think that piece about passion or belief in passion, that it's going to work, I think that in you know what, to the entrepreneur, the small business owner that says, okay, I'm doing this, even to the people that like a wine guide that might want to give this a try, it is the same exact principle. And that is, they walk in the door and say, we'll see how it goes, or we'll give this a try. But the people that walk in the door and say, no, failure's not an option, I'm going to give it my best shot, and this is going to work. And that's all the difference right there. And I just think you have to go really peel back that onion to get down to, are you willing to give it your all? And then the other thing that I see too is people, they might be really passionate about something, but then they get super confused with, well, what does the market need? And what should I do? What would make me more money? What has greater margins? And they get really wrapped up in where could they make the most money, and without something that they really care about, and that never generally works out either.
Mm, interesting. Yep.
So what's working from your happy place mean to you, Rick?
Well, working from my happy place is, I think that the most important thing that I do to stay in my happy place is to remind myself how grateful I am. And it's a practice, it's a mindset, it's something that I haven't always done, and it leads you to not appreciate your journey, and you're only focused on the end point, and then when you get to the end point, you're like, well, what's next? Instead of every day kind of being thankful that, you are where you are in the current journey. So my happy place is much happier now that I kind of remain grateful, and really stop every day to kind of, talk to myself and make sure that I fully understand how lucky I am to be where I'm at. And I have my company, my health, a family, good friends, fun business friendships, including people like you. And, that makes for a grateful person, and grateful people typically are happy.
Absolutely. I would say it's just that attitude of gratitude, right? Yeah, if we'd stay in that space, man, we really think, wow, you know, look at what you have versus what you don't. And people get really lost in that sometimes. So that's awesome.
And it's interesting in my coaching with some of our leaders too, Belinda, you know, these women, because they're primarily all women, by the way, in our organization, have done some really incredible things. And, you know, I was talking to one of our leaders who's just done a fantastic job. And, you know, I don't think people give credit to themselves enough. And it's not about like posting and running around telling other people how great you are. It's really just kind of having a moment with yourself and saying, hey, I've come a long way. You know, the woman that I spoke with yesterday, her goal was to start out having one or two events a month so that she could have some extra spending money. And today she's a leader of a significant organization making near a six-figure income. And, you know, I want to remind her of the great things that she's done and that she should really be quite proud of herself. And, you know, that's that gratitude, but people have to learn to do it.
They do. And you know, it's the, and women actually, for whatever, women and men both struggle with it, and they just do it in different ways. But, you know, for women, it's even just learning on a compliment to say thank you. We have to, you can't, that's a cute dress. Oh, I got it on sale. We have to immediately, you know, make an excuse for it, or, oh, your hair's cute. Instead of just saying thank you, it's like, oh, well, I like it better a little longer, but I wasn't sure. And women just have this tendency to kind of go all over the place. And I think you're right. Men have this tendency to go, well, it could be better. They can't ever stop and say thank you either. Well, I could be doing better. I could be doing this. I could have this, or I could do that. And so it's kind of how I see both of them deal with it. But I think both struggle to just say, gosh, thank you. Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm happy to do every day what I do. And if we just kept that sort of attitude of gratitude. I know I have to do my, I always call it my checkup from the neck up. I have to look at myself in the mirror.
I like that line.
I know. It's like every now and again, I have to do that with myself and go, look what you've done. Like, seriously? And as long as we can be in that space and be super thankful for the people that have helped us along that journey, because none of us got here by ourselves. Any person. So, great.
And gratitude is a practice.
Yes.
You know, it's like you go to the gym every day to, you know, make your heart and your lungs and your body healthy. You need to do for me, a gratitude practice every day is, you know, it's just something that you have to do. So.
Absolutely. So in closing, do you have any exciting things that you're working on you'd like to share? And then make sure you tell our listeners how they can find you.
Great. Well, Belinda, we never stop here, you know, so I think one of the most interesting things that we've created this past year, and we continue to refine and embellish and make it prettier than ever, is a concept called Rewind. And Rewind is our wine subscription service. And I didn't call it a club, because it's more than a club. It's a subscription service where you can have interesting products automatically sent to you. And every month or every other month, depending on your subscription, you're able to add different varietal bottles to it and save on shipping, believe it or not. And we're just so excited about it. We've seen the growth of it's been phenomenal. Our wine guides are absolutely in love with it. And more so much so that we had one of them post this weekend, the Rewind subscription program ran, and I made more money from that than I did my events this month. So, you know, it's kind of like we always kind of kid about making money while you sleep, and I think Rewind is a product that's doing that for people. And we're just super excited about it. We've got so much host and guest buzz about it, because there's a portal that you can go on that allows you to look at cheeses and small bites and little entrees and recipes. It's really, really well done, if I don't say so myself. And you can tell I'm the proud father of that concept and product. So that's probably one of the most juiciest things that we have. And if people are interested in finding out more about us and Traveling Vineyard, it's really easy to do. You just go to www.travelingvineyard.com. And you can get plenty of information and sign up for all of our social outlets. We're really active on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest and Twitter. So, you know, we'd love to have all of your listeners become our fans, and we'll give you really interesting, fun stuff that you can learn from and find out all about Traveling Vineyard.
Wonderful. Well, Rick, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been just a real pleasure. Every now and again, I get to have guests on the show that I've known for a very long time. And I have known you for a very long time. I've got to watch this journey play out in real life. And it's been just a real joy to see your success. It really has been. It's like that. You love to sit back and watch a good success story. So I've appreciated it so much and appreciated working with you.
Well, thanks so much, Belinda. And you've been a good friend to Traveling Vineyard.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.